So I'm gonna start you with an interesting story. I went to jail in Mexico one time. So yeah, it was a unique experience. There was an arrangement that had taken place, and our basketball team went in there to play against the inmates, and we totally lost. So they were really good. Yeah. See, like I start that off, I went to jail. You're like, what is he gonna say? Like, where is this? Come on, it's for ministry opportunity. And I didn't really know Spanish then either, so we did our best.
I was gonna say they kept you.
I know, right?
Because you lost.
Yeah, they kept me there. Yeah, oh man. How many of y'all feel like you've been in prison? I mean, not like literally, hopefully not literally too much, right? Prison in your life, in different seasons of your life? Yeah, we've all been through like those prison seasons, right? For me, when I got out of seminary, I thought, oh man, God's going to bless me with this, working for this, you know, amazing church, this amazing team and all these things. And then little did I know, when I started working on staff at this church, it would be one of the most difficult, painful, breaking experiences of my entire life. And I felt like Joseph when he went his first prison and what God was wanting to do in me. And you know what I didn't really do at the time? And I didn't realize it. I didn't submit to God. I didn't submit to his process of what he was wanting to do in me. So when I transitioned from working at that church, I went to my next job, and guess what God wanted to do in that form of prison? He wanted to work out the issues in me, in my character, my integrity, and my attitude, in my life, that he wanted to do at the other place. He's like, all right, we're going to go for round two, and you just get to do it again. And you know what happened in the second time around? It was longer, and it was more painful and more difficult. And so I learned, like, man, if I would have just submitted to God the first time and took the cross and been crucified, it might have been different. But he said, hey, I really need to work these things out in you so I can use you the way I want to use you here on the earth for the purposes that I have for you. So we're looking at, how does God shape leaders? So how does God shape you as a leader? Because you're all having very unique experiences in your life that God is tailoring to you to shape you who he wants and needs you to be, so you can have greater impact for his kingdom. And so your story and your shaping experiences are going to look so different from mine, and so different from the person who's across from you, right, or next to you. So God is going to uniquely design and tailor your leadership development process to shape you into the most impactful leader he can make you to be for his kingdom. So we're looking at Genesis chapter 40. We're not going to read through the thing as we go through, because we just spent, you know, like 20, 30 minutes on it. And we'll be taking communion together as a church at the end. But when we look at verses 1 through 8, what we had going on is we had the chief cupbearer and the chief baker who were working for Pharaoh. And they both offended the guy. So I mean, like, don't offend like the king of the world, right, in terms of like the human world. So they got thrown in prison. And guess who was in that prison? Joseph, right? So you could begin to see God's divine arranging for things taking place, because those two guys are only one step away from Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. So you can see God's big overarching plan. So Joseph is entrusted with these guys to take care of them. And they both had a dream one night, and they woke up. They didn't know the interpretation of the dream. Seems like they shared it with a few other people, and no one knew how to interpret it. So these guys were pretty downcast. They were sad, like, I don't know what to do. And then it says that Joseph said, hey, what's going on? And then we had dreams. Well, Joseph said, God can interpret any dream. Tell me your dreams and God will interpret it. So we see that's what's going on here. And we see that a period of time passed for Joseph in prison. So remember, he was a slave and then he got thrown into prison. So think about being in prison in Egypt. That's going to be like some of the worst conditions throughout like the history of the world, right? What prison would have been there? It's not going to be like prison today. I mean, prison today is horrible. And it also depends on the country that you're in is what it'll be like. But when Joseph was in prison, God was taking Joseph through the slow growth of leadership and character development. So the slow growth of leadership and character development. That's my son yelling at me, by the way, or yelling at someone. So, you know, like in our culture today, people want to take a pill just to like fix anything. Like with God, you cannot do that in your leadership, your character, your integrity development. It is the slow dredge of life that he takes you through to transform you and to make you into who he wants you to be. So this slow growth of leadership and character development. And so we also begin to see that these outside circumstances begin to align with Joseph's life. So Joseph was stuck in prison. That dude couldn't do anything except run the prison and be in good favor with the warden who was running the thing. But then God begins to arrange for these other people, these very high-level officials in the known world, to intersect his life. So we begin to see right place, right time, right people. Right place, right time, right people. And what's kind of crazy, I just looked at Jaden over here and how him and I met, because I was discipling one of his roommates for a while who went up to Humboldt, and he started DBS up there. So I discipled Christian for quite a long time. Christian went up to Humboldt, and then I get this a text from this random guy named Jaden, and he's like, hey, and he said a couple of things, and then we met up at Starbucks at our halfway point. And now, like, I've gotten to disciple him for, like, 8 months. And he's going to go back home to San Diego after he graduates and starts a fellowship with his soon-to-be wife. And so God's plan for your life with what he wants to do uniquely with you is often just one person away from what he wants to do. So God will arrange things divinely in your life and that you can trust him. Like, you can actually trust God in your life to arrange the right person, right place, right time for what he wants to do with your life. And this comes to mind right now, is there's often, like, we have plans for what we want to do with our lives, like we have our own desires. But if you can align yourself with what Jesus wants to do with your life by seeking him and fasting and praying and really getting a word from him, he's going to begin to bring those divine arrangements for what he has for you. So when Joseph had these two guys assigned to him in prison, did you notice what Joseph said? He says, God has the ability to interpret dreams, or it's God's business to interpret dreams. And so God knows, Joseph knew that God gives dreams to people. And did you know that these people, they weren't believers in Yahweh, they weren't God's people, but God was speaking to people who did not know him through dreams. And then someone who knew God can get the interpretation and give it. So when your coworker or your family member says, I had this crazy dream, what do you think you could say? Tell me your dream. Jesus will interpret it for you, right? So take that bold step, hear the dream, and then Jesus will speak to you and give you the response to the dream. How many of y'all feel like when you're in your prison season, God is silent? Did you know that God is being intentionally silent with you? Because he's wanting to see what you're going to do. Are you going to run off and try and figure it out yourself and solve your own problems? Or are you going to wait in your prison and see what God is going to, what he's going to do, what he's going to say? Because did you notice that God spoke in this passage indirectly? Because where did Joseph get the interpretation for the dream? Directly from God. So God had to have spoken to him in his prison for him to be able to interpret the dream. So when you're going through your prison season, you're like, God's not speaking. He's probably not, right? Because he's watching you. He's wanting to see what you're going to do. He's wanting to shape your character, your integrity, your leadership development. But at any point, God can speak to you. So if you feel like, oh, God's not speaking to me. God, I'm crying out. God, I'm fasting and praying. You're not speaking. When he wants to speak, he will speak to you. He will show up. We just have to wait for his timing. So 3 years before I left my previous job working in higher education, I got this word from God. It was so clear. I don't even think I was doing anything spiritual. I think I was just like sitting there. And I got this word in my spirit and it said, 3 years. And I knew instantly from that point, I had 3 more years left at my previous employment before God was going to release me for whatever was next. And you know what I thought was next? Another job in higher education. I was going to move forward in my career, move up the ladder and get paid more and that whole thing, right? So I knew I had 3 years. And I knew in those 3 years, God wanted to do a ton of work in me so he can continue to work through me. So God will speak to you in your prison seasons, in your seasons of waiting or silence, in his right time. And something that we shared over here, I talked about, is did you notice that when we sat in our Discovery Bible Study groups from the moment we started to the moment we ended, how many words were spoken between all of us? And did you notice that when God gave a dream, it was simple imagery, but it spoke more than the words that we probably spoke in our groups during our duration? So when God speaks to you, when he gives you a word, it's actually going to be often very expansive. Because when he told me 3 years, I mean, that carried so much weight to it, so much of what he wanted to do that he's beginning to speak through those 3 years. So God will speak to you in your journey. He speaks to his people. He speaks to his church. And then as we make our way through verses 9 through 19, we see that Joseph says, hey, tell me your dreams. So the first guy tells him his dreams, and he gives him a favorable interpretation. Hey, Pharaoh is going to restore you. You're going to go back to your position. You're going to get all your prestige back. You're going to get all your money back. You're going to get all your influence back. You're going to get to taste some good wine. Like, you're going to get everything back. And so when the other guy who was there says, hey, this guy got a favorable interpretation, I want that too. So the guy tells the dream to Joseph. Joseph says, well, yours is a little different. Pharaoh's actually going to put you on a big stick and impale you, and the birds are going to eat you. And the guy's like, oh, man. And they'll say, hey, this will happen in 3 days. So 3 days later, guess what happens? It all begins to be fulfilled just as God had spoken through the dreams and through the interpretation. And so God was not silent to Joseph, even in prison. So hear this. This is something that was really resonated with me. The silence, the stillness, and confinement in your prison seasons, they actually produce the right amount of pressure for God to create the desired results. So the silence, the stillness, the confinement that you experience in these seasons of being in prison, it produces the right amount of pressure on you in your life for God to create the desired results that he wants to do in you. So while we're in our prison, whether like metaphorically speaking, right, our prison season, we can either collaborate and submit to the process, which is like a capital P process, right? Because God is designing that process. Or we can extend our time in jail or permanently remain in jail. Because think about it. How many of those other guys never got out of jail? Like probably a lot of them. And if you study church history or like the global church now, like the persecuted church, like how many of those people who do the right thing before Jesus when they're being persecuted and tortured in prison, how many of them actually get out of prison? Not a lot. They actually get executed. And so they did the right thing before Jesus and they still got executed, right? So God is doing work in everybody in these prison seasons that we're in. And so the more that we resist God and go the opposite of his way for us or the opposite of what the scriptures say, I can tell you the pain will actually increase because God is he loves you so much to get your attention by increasing the pain point or the pain volume in your life to get you to go on your face and to say, I'm listening, right? Because you probably know this, like, people won't change until they're hurting enough. I mean, think of your spouse or like yourself or like your friend that you or your kid you really want to see change. But if they don't change, it's because their pain point is often not high enough for them. So God uses pain to get our attentions to do what he wants to do deeply in us. So prison seasons in your life are extremely important for your leadership development. You have to go through them like Joseph did to be able to receive God's promotion and expansion in your life. And did you notice what Joseph did? I don't know if you caught on to this. He said, please remember me and do me a favor. Did you see that he threw that in there? Do you know what he was really trying to do? He was trying to take things into his own hands and solve his own problem. He actually wasn't relying on God. He actually said, hey, get me out of here, rather than, hey, God, get me out of here. He tried to appeal to the person to get set free. So instead of remaining silent and trusting in God to be his deliverer, he tried to deliver himself. So what God was doing is he was teaching Joseph to be dependent on him, because when Joseph gets promoted to be the second in charge of Egypt and famine hits the whole world, who do you think Joseph needs to continue to be dependent on to solve the entire world's problem? The Lord. He needs to continue to be submitted to God, seeking God for guidance to solve his problems rather than trying to solve of himself. Can y'all think of anybody else in the Bible that did this? I can think of two people. What's that? Job. Yep. One of them, right? I think about Moses. Remember when he was going to, he's going to set God's people free And he did it prematurely outside of God's time when a Jewish person, an Israelite, and a Egyptian were fighting. And then Moses comes over, kills the Egyptian. Now's the time for Israel's freedom. And God's like, whoa, nope. And it was another whole 40 years, right? And then you think about Saul in the Old Testament, the book of Samuel. That dude was supposed to wait to offer the sacrifice before he went into battle. But Samuel was running a little late. He's getting older, so maybe took a little bit longer to get there. And Saul's like this young warrior, like, okay, God, like, we're going to battle. And he goes and offers the sacrifice. And right after he offers the sacrifice, what happens? Samuel shows up because it was a test.
How about David?
David's another one.
David.
Yep. Yeah, so we can see all throughout the Old Testament and going into the New Testament, like there's tests going on for God's leaders. And either God's leaders pass those tests or they don't. You pass your test, you get out of prison. You don't, you stay in prison longer and sometimes permanently. So God wants us out of prison. But I'll say this for you. I think this is a word for some people. God's timing and our proper readiness is important. So God's timing and our proper readiness is very important. Because if we go outside of God's timing and we think we're ready, we're going to pull a Moses, we're going to pull a Saul, a David, all these other characters in Scripture we see where they had some pretty serious mistakes. But what was great is Joseph was confined in prison, so he couldn't change his circumstances, right? So in a way, I want to tell you this. If you're in a prison season, stay in your prison. Like, stay in your prison. Don't try and jailbreak. Because if you stay in your prison, God will accomplish what he wants to do in you. So that when he opens the prison door, you're completely free and he can trust you. God wants to know as a leader, can he trust you? Can he trust you as his leader? When we got our call to plant, man, I thought I was ready. Like, all right, God, open this door. We're ready to go. Do you know how many years it took for us to hit our ground, feet on the ground, church planting? It took 2 more years of preparation for us to actually hit our feet on the ground and start this church. And so when we get this call from God, there's often a season of preparation that takes place before he actually initiates the call in your life. So as this whole thing comes to an end, verses 20 through 22, what we see happen is that everything that the dreams that God gave, the interpretations that Joseph gave from God, they all actually happen. Like, they are fulfilled within the 3 days. So what we can see here is that providential circumstances begin to take place. So this means it's outside of you influencing anything, God will begin to arrange things in your life in such a way that he will do it. God will do it on your behalf, and you will partner with him as he leads you by his Spirit. So please hear this. You can trust God to arrange what and when he wants to arrange your day of release. So you can trust God to arrange what and when he wants to arrange your day of release. But did you notice for Joseph, it wasn't his time yet? He had to stay in prison for a longer period of time because God wasn't finished working in him, and Joseph wasn't fully yet submitted to God, where all those character issues were worked out. Because think about this. What if Joseph would have got out of prison earlier when that guy said, hey, do me a favor, and he gets him out? What if Joseph would have offended Pharaoh and Joseph would have been executed, right? So Joseph had to learn how not to offend Pharaoh. Was part of my guess for being in prison, right? So he knows how to navigate these high-level leaders in the world to interact with them well. So you got the 3-year word. I got the 2 more years of preparation. I do this 10-day water only fast before we start up at the park. But after the fast and before we started the park, I had a dream. And in my dream, which many of you have heard, I was standing there and I had my 2 hands flat out like this. And I had a shell in each hand. And I was trying to force those shells in my own efforts to multiply. And guess what happened? They didn't multiply because I couldn't do it myself. I simply rested and believed that Jesus would multiply them, and they did. They went from 2 to 4. The next part of the dream was an endless circle, a kind of a 360 coming out of my hands, whereas these green sand crystals, they were flowing out of my hands endlessly for what God was going to do. I woke up, but I knew instantly oh, the shells are multiplying churches and multiplying movement leaders and movements. And then the green sand crystals, those are a multiplication of disciples. So I got that dream like a year and a half ago. I haven't seen that dream fulfilled. Remember, if you remember the story, in the beginning, Joseph, he had a dream of his whole family bowing down to him. The dream wasn't fulfilled yet, so Joseph had to have known, oh, God's not done. This hasn't happened yet. Right? So when God gives you a word for your life and it hasn't been fulfilled, he's not done yet working in you, and he will then fulfill the word that he has given you because he's faithful. So as we think of ourselves as leaders, how is God shaping you as a leader? What is the work he's wanting to do in you so that you will be healthy and successful and you won't end up like these other leaders we've talked about who got knocked out of the race and lost everything? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pass out a handout for everyone. Hey, welcome to being at the park. We got like the ice cream guy, screaming kids, people running right behind me. Last week we had a dog jump on me. It all just kind of happens, right? Yeah. Yeah, the dog ran up and jumped on me.
Why?
I think it was hungry. I don't know. Yeah. So I'm going to pass out these papers for you guys to give you an opportunity to reflect on what God is doing either in this season or when you enter your next prison season. So I'm going to pass those out. So if you take a look at your paper, on the left side you got integrity and moves through obedience, words that God gives you, failure you've had, tests you've passed, and promotions. So what this does is it helps you begin to see kind of like a bird's eye view of how God is working in your life on the ground level so that you can respond to what he's doing there to be able to pass his test and receive the deep formation that he has for you. So let's take about 5 minutes to prayerfully reflect on this. And if you want, if you're an extrovert and you're like, I want to do this with someone next to me, feel free to do that too. And if you haven't done this yet, right, based upon how God has been speaking today through the scriptures or through conversations you've been having, how are you going to obey Jesus this week? How are you going to apply it to your life? And then who is someone else you can share with what you're learning, whether it's the Bible story or something that God has spoken to you? So go ahead and write those down and then share those with the person next to you. How are you going to obey Jesus, and who are you going to share with?